Never give because you saw somebody else give. Always do it as an act of your heart. Because the Spirit of God is speaking to you to do it. Because when you give because you saw somebody do it, and the person has a blessing and you don't have the same blessing, you will wonder what's wrong with you.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
All right, Acts chapter 4. We're going to continue with our series of messages in the book of Acts. We have established that the book of Acts, written by Luke, is a continuation of what Jesus began to do. The Bible says when Jesus left the earth physically, he came back through the form of the Holy Spirit, and he's still working through the same apostles and disciples. And so whatever we read from the book of Acts is still the work of Jesus after he physically left the earth. All right, so we see a picture of what happens when the Holy Spirit is infusing a church. And then what also happens when the church functions without the Holy Spirit in control. Amen. And finally, we did establish that the book of Acts reminds us what you and I are going to look like if we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. Would you please do me a favor? Raise your right hand and say, from today. Please say like you mean it. From today, I will allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life. Amen. Are you in Acts chapter 4? We'll be reading from the 32nd verse to the 37 verse, and I'll use as a subject this morning, taking care of one another, taking care of one another. When the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, you will know how to take care of each other. Amen. On the Holy Spirit. And before we read the book of Acts chapter 4, I want to just give a little bit of a background. And please, I need you to pay attention to this because it is important. Let me make a first statement that most of the book of Acts is descriptive, not prescriptive. Can you say that with me? Most of the book of Acts is... What it simply means is that when you read a book of Acts, it is very easy to say, because they did this, we must do it. But the book of Acts is describing what they did. It is not prescribing to us what we should do. Did you guys get it? And I know some of you will be saying, Pastor, the Holy Spirit came to fill them. Yes, it describes what they did. Because the text that we are about to read, if I don't lay this groundwork, you can easily take that test and bring it today and access to do the same. What they did was that people started selling their properties, and they brought it to the apostles. Would you sell yours? And we will not run away from it. All right? So this book is descriptive, not prescriptive. Say that with me. It is descriptive, not prescriptive. Now, let me just share with you a few things. If you read the entire book of Acts, did Jesus tell the disciples they should go into all the world? He told them that. Did they go into all the world? No, they stayed in Jerusalem until Acts chapter 8, when there was one, when there was persecution. And even then, they only went to Samaria, outermost part of the earth. It's only Paul who came later and did it. They didn't go. They stayed in Jerusalem. They did not. And so I don't want you to idolize the New Testament church. It has the same problems you and I have. The only difference is that some in the church chose to walk with the Holy Spirit. And if you and I will learn to do that, the Holy Spirit will work through us. Amen. You all remember that in the book of Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas, after their missionary journeys, they decided to go back and revisit some of the people who they have, the statues that they have established. What happened? When they decided that Barnabas wanted to take John Mark was his cousin, and Paul felt that he's playing family here, and the guy could not be trusted. And the scripture says they fought big time. So I don't want you to see them as some super spiritual models. They are just like you and I. The difference is that they chose often to go back to allow the Holy Spirit to what? Work through them. How many of you will want to go to a church or be part of a church that does not decide, okay, this church is, for example, we'll say this church is for Africans and it has to be Africans from Ghana. How many of you will go to a church like that? You wouldn't go. Why? Because of discrimination. But a New Testament church, Gentiles could not become part of it. It was only Jews. I can go on and show you pictures that it was not a perfect church, but it was a church that kept going back to allow the Holy Spirit to what? Work through them. And so the second statement I would like to make before I read that verse is that the book of Acts is not a story of super believers. It is not. It is not a story of super believers, but ordinary believers who allowed the Holy Spirit to work through them. And this is how we know today that we, the church of today, no matter how messed up it is, we have hope that if we will surrender to the Holy Spirit, then we can do what they did. With that in mind, I want you to read with me from the book of Acts chapter 4. We'll read from verses 32 to verse 37. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Are those words echoing to you? That your car is my car? That my car is your car? My house is your house? Is it descriptive or prescriptive? Okay. Let's keep going on. See, the problem with Christians is that we pick and choose what to make it a prescription. But I want to state it very clearly that this book describes what they did. All right? We will look at the prescriptive aspect of it, because when the Holy Spirit steps into something, it does not become a description. It becomes a prescription. Verse 33, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful. That's another way of saying that the Holy Spirit rested on them. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Nobody had a need. Was it not the same church that in Acts chapter 6 there was a need? So I wanted to keep putting this words we read into perspective. That there were no needy persons among them, for from the time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, also sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Amen. Now, please look at me. I'm going to take you back because I want us to put the book into perspective, else we can easily misinterpret these words and tell everybody, go sell everything you have and bring it. and your house is mine, and this is mine. In Acts chapter 1, we are told that Jesus told the disciples that they should go and be witnesses everywhere, correct? In Jerusalem, in Judea, and then in Samaria. And then he says, to the uttermost part of the earth. In verse 11 of chapter 1, what happened? The Bible says, while he was speaking to them, Jesus was lifted up, and he went to heaven. Whilst they kept looking up, an angel stood by them, and he said, the same Jesus whom you see going up will come back in the same manner. Fast forward, Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes. We are told that there were 17 nations. The 17 nations is simply Jews who had come from, like they've been born in different places, different 17 nations, and they have all come. So the 3,000 people who were converted to Christ were all Jews, but from different 17 what? Nations. And remember, they came out of town. Now, if you travel, for example, to California, and when you got there, you receive a message from Peter. Then you were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And then they told you that the Jesus who is working through us, through his Spirit, is coming back. How many of you will go home? Come on, walk with me. How many of you will go home? See, nobody's hand is up. You will stay because you just received him. You are speaking in tongues. You are witnessing power. And then you are told he's coming back. That is why they did not go anywhere. They stayed in Jerusalem because he's coming back. And so after a while, what happens to the money you had that you traveled with? It will finish. And when it finishes, what needs to be done? Then those who are already in town, like Barnabas, like Ananias and Sapphira, like others, will have to sell their stuff and bring it, because we are still waiting for Jesus to come so we all can eat. So even though they are selling to give it out, technically, they are not doing it out of love. There's necessity. I wanted to see this New Testament church. I can walk you through. They are just as screwed up as us. The only difference is that they saw the need to keep going back to the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one who will make a difference. And if the church today, including our local church here, if we choose to walk with the Holy Spirit, most of the things we fight about, we will not. We will not. People we hate, we will not hate them. Those that we talk about behind closed doors, you will not do it. If the Holy Spirit is in you and you allow him to lead you, there are things you will not do. If he is not there, you will be as crazy as them. Are you with me? So with that in mind, they had to sell stuff, bring it over, so they can hold the people. Because they are still waiting for Jesus to come. Until Acts chapter 8, Jesus says, no, I'm not coming now. So he has to just scatter them through persecution. During COVID, what happened? God scattered people. And there are churches that are in existence that are not in existence no more. So I want you to understand the text, the background to which we're reading. And that is how you know that the selling of the land and bringing everything is not a prescription. It's a descriptive, the way they responded to the financial shortage they had, which they created. Because those who got saved on the day of Pentecost could have gone back home and still serve the Lord. But they chose to stay where? In Jerusalem. And didn't go anywhere. Amen. And all throughout the book of Acts, if you read chapter 6, you will notice that they got to a point where food also became shortage. When Jesus resurrected, one last background information. When Jesus resurrected, how many days did he live on earth before he went to heaven? 40 days. Everybody say that with me. 40 days. 10 days after he left the earth was the 50th day. Then the Holy Spirit what? Came. Please, how many days? 50 days. So this people have been saved on the 50th day after the resurrection. And in chapter 4, we are around about 60 to 70 days. So they've been in town for about 2 weeks to 3 weeks. So you can understand why money is becoming an issue. I want you to fully understand the text. Don't interject today's culture in it. Let's just go back there. With that in mind, I want you to understand something. Please write it down, that Acts chapter 4, from verses 32 to 37, I can feel the pushback because some religious people want to make the book of Acts a prescription. It is not. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37 is not saying that believers in Christ are supposed to sell everything they have and share their possessions. If you did it because you are led by the Holy Spirit to do it, then you did it. But it is not a prescription. If it was a prescription, man, you all would be selling stuff and we'll be getting all of it. But let's just deal with the truth of God's word. We are not obligated to. Everybody say, not obligated to. So the believer in Christ is not supposed to sell everything they have and share their possession. Nowhere in the rest of Scripture are we encouraged to do so. We are encouraged to share what we have, but not to sell everything we have and share it. Did you guys understand what I said? All right. The second thing that I want you to notice out of the text is that disparity in wealth and material possession amongst Christian believers is not evil. Do I need to explain the English? Disparity. You live in an apartment, somebody live in a house, there's no need to say they are evil because they have more. The disparity did exist and it still does what? Exist. There are people who are lazy, won't work, and there are others who will work hard. And your laziness is not a basis for you to tell somebody who is hardworking and have certain material possession and say that they are evil. No. So they were not selling their lands and everything and bringing it together because they thought that the disparity was evil. They wanted to meet the need at the time. Amen. With that in mind, let's establish clearly what Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37 is saying. So I've talked about the two things it's not saying. That it's not saying sell everything and bring the money. It's not saying disparity in wealth and material possession is evil. But what is it saying? It's saying that when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, we will take care of one another. When the Holy Spirit is what? At work. In you, you will take care of someone. Sometimes you don't even need to be told. You can see it because the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. And that is the context of what was taking place here in this text. Amen. With that in mind, I want us to just jump into Scripture and look at how the Scriptures teaches us to take care of each other. The kingdom priorities for meeting needs. The kingdom priorities for meeting needs. I will mention them and then we will delve into it. Number one, you must take care of your natural family first. Your natural family first. So husbands or wives who doesn't take care of their children but use the money to go and take care of their extended family is not right. Your natural family what? First. Number two, you take care of your spiritual family, which is the church family, second. Your natural family first, your spiritual family second. And third, you take care of everyone who God put in your path. It was Jesus who said, on that day, some of you will be saying, Lord, I didn't know it was you. And he says, if you help a stranger, you have actually done it for me. Your natural family first, the spiritual family second, and anybody who God puts in your path. Amen. So let's go back and begin to delve into this. Now, I could read a lot of scriptures to establish this, but let's just look at two of them. The scriptures I chose, one of them is a bit hard to swallow, but it is the truth. Maybe you have a father who didn't take care of you. If you choose not to help him when he is old, you are violating God's principles. Or you have a mother, maybe she wasn't there. Natural family first. And sometimes you have siblings who are something else. I believe you can still help people and set boundaries. Mark chapter 7, are you there? We'll read verses 9 to 12. Mark chapter 7. I'll read from the NIV today. Mark chapter 7, from verses 9 to 12. And here Jesus is speaking. Please listen. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Before I proceed, I want to ask everybody a question. Please listen carefully and see if you can give me an answer. The Word of God and our traditions, which one is powerful? Did you just say the Word of God? The Word of God ought to be powerful as long as you are willing to allow it. But Jesus said these words. He says, you have made the Word of God of none effect by your traditions. So in effect, he's saying that traditions could be more powerful than the Word. It is what you have decided you want to follow. I've seen people who go to church, they've been in church 20 years. They are still the same way because traditions mean more to them than the Word. And Jesus, in this example, is saying, you have chosen to put the command of God on the side. And you are following your traditions. According to the tradition, if a papa doesn't take care of his kids, the kids are not supposed to take care of papa. It is only God's word who tells you to do the opposite. So let's continue reading. Verse 10, Jesus is still speaking. He says, for Moses said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Verse 11, but you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is something that is devoted to God. Now, in the Jewish culture, they have something called korban. Everybody say korban. Korban simply means that I have taken a certain amount of money and I've dedicated or devoted that this is going to be given to God. So I'm going to take it to church. Then your mother or your father or a sibling shows up that moment and they have a need and they are asking you. Jesus is saying, you, korban is your tradition, but the word of God says, honor your father and your, notice siblings are not in this text. What is in there? What is in there? Okay, I need you to pay attention. The Bible never misses its words. But you say, I'm reading verse 11 again, but you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father and mother. So as long as the money has been set apart to be given to church or given to God, all right? Then when your father and mother come and they are in need, you don't help them. That is the tradition. And Jesus is saying that's wrong. He says, if the money has been devoted to be given to God, and your papa and your mama shows up and they have a need, you meet the need first. Then after that, you can complete your korban. I am not one of those pastors who are afraid to tell you, because then maybe the tithe won't come. You know me better than that. I don't have time for that nonsense. You teach God's word, and you teach God's word pure as it is. God will take care of his bills one way or the other. But those who don't give to God, you become poor. I've seen people who work, make a lot of money, and they struggle to. Then some people don't do much, but they are cool, because God, like the widow in the Old Testament, can let you take a small thing and stretch it out. And you wonder, how in the world is my salary so small able to keep my entire family, and somebody has a lot and they are still struggling? There is a part, but Jesus says, your natural family first, because he says, when you do these things, then he says, you did it, what? For me. Are you guys understanding me? Okay. First Timothy chapter 5. So we are establishing that God wants you to take care not of korban, not church first, but your natural family, specifically your papa and your mama. Because I've seen Christians who say, they didn't take care of me when I was young. Let's go back to the word of God. Let's go back to, I've told my children, I will not go into a nursing home. Somebody must keep me. I kept you for more than 18 years. Before you left my house, you will not put me in a nursing home. I will not be a burden, but you don't put me there. Are you in 1 Timothy? Chapter 5. Let's look at verse 8. If you would do me a favor, let's all read, shall we? Go. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Is this self-explanatory? Okay, so it's very clear. Anyone who does not take care of, and sometimes there are people who, because they want good face with other people, they take more money and give it to others and leave their own, what? The Bible says if you did that, you are not even born again. You are worse than an unbeliever. So take care of your natural family, what? First. I can go on and show you scriptures. Secondly, you must take care of your spiritual family. Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at the 10th verse. Galatians chapter 6. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Is that self-explanatory? Please read with me if you can. I want to make sure you got it. Shall we? Read. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So if you realize somebody in our midst has a need, you help. If you cannot help, you let the church know. Sometimes I've often heard people, and this is a moment of correction. The church won't help me, and the church is who? Is you. But if you're talking about the leadership of the church, if you reach out, anybody who reaches out, we help. We just don't help the way you want.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.